I appreciate you finding the John Kincaid Show every week here on the network. And thank you for being a part of our family. I was trying to tell Antonio, we're bringing Antonio along here running the board today. I told him, I said, this show is never about the host being right. It's actually more fun when the host is wrong. And I love it when we bring more intelligent minds onto the show to educate me on potentially a really bad take. So without biasing the very talented Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports College Football, I'm going to ask him this simple question without any understanding of my point of view. Dennis, what is Cupcake Weekend in college football when we see games like these? What is, why are those games played and what's it all about?
You're talking about the SEC.
Yeah, and I made clear that the Big Ten and other conferences have these earlier in the year, so every conference does them. It just happens to be later in the year. But what do those games, whether it's early in the year, later in the year, what are they for?
It started, this is anecdotal, I don't know this for sure. It started in about 2006 when the rights holders, whoever that was, whoever that is now, wanted more product, more inventory in September. So they moved conference games to September. And so this was the obvious outcome. You played all these stinkers in the third week of November, and this is what you got. Now, your question is, what does it mean?
Yeah, what's it for? No, what's it? Why do they play these games, though? What is the agenda?
The FCS games?
Yes.
Good question, because I think it's part of the SEC mentality that our schedule is so hard that we, quote-unquote, deserve to have these breathers. There are, I think there are at least two teams in the Pac-12 that have never played an FCS team. So if we're going to bag on the Pac-12, let's remind people that they played nine conference games. And I think it's USC and maybe Washington that have never played an FCS. Don't hold me to it. But it just it's really a dark spot on the schedule. It was really a non, you know, news weekend really yesterday, and it hurts the game, frankly, a little bit.
I always think of it more as, I call it fundraising weekend.
Yeah.
Bake sale weekend. Is that when we're asking the football players in these programs to make money to support all the non revenue generating sports that the school has that milk off the teat of college football. Is that a fair assessment, or is that a little too?
No, I mean, look, all these games are played by every team. It's just a question of whether you play three or four and how you balance your schedule. And nobody's going to disparage Alabama for playing Louisville in the opener. They went out and got that
sure.
game. They didn't know Louisville was bad this year. So it's how you balance your schedule. It's, you know, some schools play more than others. It's really hard to consider Washington State for a playoff berth when they played who? Portland State and somebody else this year in their non-conference. That's really going to hurt them in the room if it becomes a discussion point, which I don't think it is at this point. But, yeah, I mean, everybody has these games. They just coagulate, you know, around yesterday in the SEC.
I'm shocked, Dennis Dodd joining us, CBS Sports College Football, that LSU has remained ahead of Washington State. And is it all the out-of-conference schedule? Do you think that is the committee sending a message?
I think it's a groupthink by the committee. There's somebody or some person in there. You saw it last year. This is the first example of this. And LSU is a very good team, but I think we all agree. I think everyone agrees. The seventh in the country?
That's ridiculous.
You know, the 29-0 beatdown. You've lost twice. Great schedule. Beat three top 10 teams at the time of kickoff, but come on. Last year, I think it was week 10, I want to say, a three-loss Mississippi State was ranked ahead of an undefeated UCF. Now, I'm not going to get into the UCF deserves to be in the playoffs. My point is, they were telling us that UCF doesn't even play a brand of football that's recognized in some parts of the country as football. And I think that does a disservice to UCF. For a three-loss Mississippi State to be ahead of UCF. This is not
that's idiotic.
Sun Belt. Yeah, it's not the Sun Belt. It's the next best conference out there. But I think you saw an example. This is part of the example of that. There's a groupthink in there that they don't want to admit to that you know, that really gives first blush, first favor to the SEC.
Let me ask you about UCF, and I'm a Temple University guy, so I mean, mm-hmm. I love the AAC. But I've also been critical and said last year, I've asked UCF people to come after me on Twitter and get on me about this take. I asked them point blank, which one of the four teams in last year's playoff do you believe they deserve the right to supplant? Is there any that they would have had an argument for?
I answer that this way. I think they can beat anybody above them in the polls and obviously below them, with the possible exception of Alabama. Does that mean they will get to the top four? No, and I answer it ambiguously this way. The discussion doesn't even start for a team like UCF. I'm not saying UCF, any group of five school. Unless two Power Five champions lose twice, that team we're talking about in the group of five wins all their games and beats two Power Fives. That's when it starts. That's not when they get in. That's when it starts. But they're deservedly in. And your point is a good one. Who do you supplant?
Who would they have supplanted last year?
You don't.
No.
Yeah, you don't.
And that to me is one of the things that just annoys me about that debate, because people are, I think, slightly irrational. And again, I'm an AAC fan, so I am a fan of the conference, and I know they're the next best conference, but they don't belong on the same level yet. Maybe they will get there one day, Dennis. Maybe they will get there. But I know there are college football programs that have built their brand by going on the road, by taking it on the road and going out there and saying, we'll take any paycheck, we'll go on the road, and we'll beat you in your house, and we'll take any paycheck we can grab.
Florida State, Bobby Bowden.
Yep, that's how he built it. Yeah. Different era. But, okay, now let me ask you right now, of the contenders that if you took, let's even take Clemson out of this too. We take Alabama and Clemson out of this. If I was to give you Michigan, Notre Dame, Georgia, Oklahoma, what's the team that's most dangerous beyond the step from Clemson and Alabama? Most dangerous.
I would start with Michigan and Notre Dame. After what I saw yesterday, I guess I'd have to say Notre Dame. People seem to not, be in love with them, but they do everything well. They're not a great running team, but they're very physical. Ian Book is a very serviceable passer and gutted it out yesterday with those sore ribs. The defense is a given. They've got their two corners, John, Troy Pride Jr. and Julian Love, prior to yesterday, had broken up 48 career passes. That's a good decade for some teams in their back defensive backfield. So that's pretty good. But I would say Notre Dame right now. Look, who can hang with Alabama and Clemson? I don't know. But if I had to say that, because Michigan,
I can't see Michigan's offense hanging with Clemson or Alabama. That's what I can't get. Their defense I can, but I can't see their offense like being able to move the 12 and 15 play drives.
Yeah, their skilled players are non-remarkable, and I'm not disparaging them. You're going to line up in that pro style and pound teams, and I think the difference in the offense this year is that they're running Shea Patterson. That's something we rarely saw at Ole Miss. I give credit to Jim Harbaugh and Pep Hamilton for loosening up the offense. But I agree. Notre Dame has some very tall, rangy receivers, not particularly fast. But when you talk about, here we go again, Alabama with the best set of receivers Nick Saban's ever had, I think. Best quarterback he's ever had. Best offense he's ever had. And if they seal the deal, then we're talking about one of the best teams in Alabama history, considering that he's gone whole hog and embraced these spread option RPO concepts when he brought Tua in. So, yeah, it's going to be hard.
Will three unbeatens remain after next weekend?
I think so. That would be the first time since 2009, I think, three major college unbeatens that were not sanctioned, I think, in 2012. Ohio State was ineligible. But, yeah, I've said that. In fact, you can count on this Tuesday night for the first time. The teams are going to be 1, 2, 3, 4 in order for the first time ever, three straight weeks. So in this season of chalk, it's going to be another function in filling up an hour of TV programming and talking about the obvious. So, yeah, I think all three of those win, yes.
All right, Thanksgiving week. What are you most thankful for in college football as a guy who lives, breathes, and is submerged in it?
This sounds corny, but the games. I'm sick of writing about players dying and trustees and NCAA investigations.
I love that answer. Yeah, I love this
going
answer.
Going to the games. Mike Slide said that to me once when we were talking about just a random year where there was all this scandal, not necessarily the SEC. And he said, Dennis, I just want to get back to the games. And I said, Mike, I do too.
He loved the game.
He did.
He loved the game, that man. Seriously.
He certainly did.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Dennis. I appreciate your time as always. Thank you, buddy.
All right, John. Thank you.
There you go. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports.